What you do hear Trump talking about is this on Truth Social. There have been very positive discussions with Hamas and countries from all over the world, Arab, Muslim, and everyone else this weekend to release the hostages in the war in Gaza, but more importantly, finally have long sought after peace in the Middle East. Cool so far. That's great. Peace in the Middle East. That's for everyone. These talks have been very successful and proceeding rapidly. The technical teams will again meet Monday. That's today. Apparently that's happening in Egypt right now to work through and clarify the final details. I'm told that the first phase should be completed this week, and I'm asking everyone to move fast. I will continue to monitor this centuries-old conflict. Time is of the essence, or massive bloodshed will follow. That's something nobody wants to see. So when you see that, especially if you're on the Palestinian or Hamas side, and you see that time is of the essence or massive bloodshed will follow, I mean, honestly, you got to say, what have we seen for the last 2 years? More massive bloodshed is something beyond what we've seen so far? I mean, what is the implication there? Well, I can tell you somebody who definitely got the message and was very happy about it, and that's Benjamin Netanyahu.
Well, we accepted the deal, as did all the world. It was President Trump's plan. Hamas says that it accepted the deal. Now the onus is on Hamas. This plan consists of two parts. The first part is releasing all the hostages. Israel makes a tactical withdrawal, stays in Gaza. And then the second part is meant to demilitarize Gaza and disarm Hamas. That will be negotiated. But the first part is there. It's agreed upon. And that could be the indeed the beginning of the end of the war. And as I said, since we accepted it, we have to see what Hamas will do. If Hamas will accept it, I think it's a very good sign. If Hamas doesn't accept it, and it's a possibility that we always take into mind, then Israel will receive, as President Trump says, the full support of the United States to forcefully act against it to bring about an end to the war.
See, you heard him there. You can read between the lines. It's not very hard. It's not even hardly between the lines. It's more like kind of on the lines. The United States will complete and fully support us in a military conquest. And you got to ask, I mean, has Netanyahu actually given up on a military conquest? You know he doesn't want to have a peace. You know he doesn't want to have a negotiated settlement that ends with the Palestinians remaining in the Strip and then saddling Israel with this requirement, whether to provide security or manage the rebuilding of the place, that will just infuriate many. There will be many, and I suspect not just in the government, but probably millions of people in Israel that will be angry at Netanyahu if this kind of a deal is done and the war comes to an end, and then Israel has to now keep its military bogged down inside the Gaza Strip, providing security. And you know that there's going to be low level of violence in any case that's going to go along with that. That's one of the reasons they withdrew the last time that they were in there, and then be responsible for rebuilding the place, which is the opposite of what they want, which is the expulsion of all the people. So has Israel really given up on that? I have my doubts. I think that Netanyahu reads that Trump Truth Social, and that was yesterday, and those comments, that interview was also yesterday. So I think it's pretty clear that Netanyahu is hoping that's exactly where it goes out, and that he probably hopes that the Hamas doesn't accept this. This is, again, why I say the one lever that Hamas has right now is to accept it all, because then that would put Netanyahu in the really troubling situation. If Hamas agrees to all the terms, says, yes, we'll demilitarize, we'll leave. In fact, we'll exit the place entirely, so we won't be in charge of anything, and the war will come to an end. Here's all the hostages, living and deceased. You've got it all, literally all the things that they said that they needed. If Hamas just gives them everything, and they should. Right now, if I was advising Hamas, I would say do 100%, not 90, not 95, 100. Do it all. That's the best play that you can make, because now then, if Netanyahu then gets everything that they're asking for in what he self-described as phase one, and they don't go to all of the other stuff that bring the peace and instead continues on with the violence in the war, then the pressure could really mount from the outside world finally to where they could actually take action, political action, economic action against Israel. because then it'll be clear that it's actually not Hamas who's the roadblock, but it's actually the Netanyahu government who doesn't want to have a peace, but only an expulsion. And God help us if that actually passes. But that's what I suspect is probably the intent and the hope of Benjamin Netanyahu. And we'll see if Hamas falls, you know, victim to that too, because again, it bears repeating. And to be honest about this, what they did on 10/7, no matter what happened before that, it has been catastrophically bad for the people of Palestine, much, much worse than what existed before that. So they have been their own worst enemy, which is a big competition, because their otherwise worst enemy is the Israeli Defense Forces and this government of Benjamin Netanyahu. And so, unfortunately, the people of Palestine are the ones who are paying for all of the sins of all of these warmongers. And so one hopes that the Arab regimes, if nothing else, can really finally knuckle down and put the pressure on Hamas to submit to all these and at least end the killing for the Palestinian people. Then we can get to the second part there. But Netanyahu's not finished. I mentioned that there were, if the Hamas side does what I suggested here and plays their only card that they really have, then that would enable the pressure to be from the outside. Well, Netanyahu seems to be aware that that's a risk. So he took an opportunity in that same interview to completely trash all of Europe.
Europe has been absent because Europe has basically caved in to Palestinian terrorism, to radical Islamist minorities in their midst. And they basically said, let's do just give them a Palestinian state, which would be the ultimate reward for Hamas after doing the greatest massacre against the Jews since the Holocaust. Now we'll give you a state in which you can continue the war against Israel. That's why Europe has essentially become irrelevant.
Now, he's right in one sense. Europe has become irrelevant, and it's irrelevant because of what Netanyahu mentioned before, is that right now, in that previous clip, the U.S. has their back diplomatically, economically, and certainly militarily, because without our military support, Israel could not continue to do this. They couldn't have done what they've done the last 2 years, and they can't do anything militarily going forward. In either case, they have to have the backing of the United States diplomatically to give them protection from all the pressure that's been coming down. And 156 countries have now recognized a Palestinian state. And that includes many in the West of the otherwise people who are big supporters of the United States and allies and all that. And so he's mocking them and saying that's dumb. And of course, he's completely twisting around and perverting what they're actually arguing about. No one in the West is saying, yeah, just give Palestinian state for no reason, just because, yeah, just hand it to them. And that way they can use it as a staging ground for more terrorist attacks against Israel, which Netanyahu said there. That's absurd. It's insulting for him to say that because it's obviously not true, unfortunately. Netanyahu does that, and he uses that rhetorical tools because he knows that some will listen to him and will not look at the fundamentals of the facts. They won't watch shows like what you're watching right now, where we have the actual physical evidence and the truth about what is actually going on. Because what he doesn't say anything about is, yes, 10/7. It was a horrible thing. But then he literally obliterates any kind of knowledge of everything that actually drove Europe and all these other countries to acknowledge a Palestinian state, even though it goes against a lot of history and even against the wishes of the United States. It's pretty strong so far because of the barbaric and the murderous actions of Netanyahu against the hapless Palestinian people. That's what they're pushing against. Nobody wants terrorism. Not one of those countries wants terrorism. They want the war to come to an end, and they want the Palestinian people to finally have a possibility of having a homeland and a chance to have in a state of their own where they can just live like normal people and have a life, not just to exist like is the current situation. That's the best they can hope for the foreseeable future, but they want to have a life like everybody in Israel wants to have a life, free of terrorism, free of the threat of rockets coming in on their country. That's valid. I would want that too. I would not want to live that way. But there's how do you do that effectively, and then how do you sabotage your own opportunity here? How do you harm your own possibility for peace? And that's what Israel is doing right now. They are harming their own chance to have that peace. There is a path to do that, though it would be incredibly difficult. It would have been a lot easier or a lot less, I won't even use that term easy. It would have been a lot less hard prior to 10-7 if some of the things that had not happened, even in the months prior to 10-7 to 2023, if they had done a different path there and sought any kind of peaceful coexistence where there was a future and a hope for the Palestinian side, they could have avoided all of this. And they would have had a better shot at having that secure situation that the Israelis want, but they haven't. And now then it's as hard as it would have been prior to, say, the summer of 2023, it is now infinitely harder now. But better to go down a hard path that has a shot at eventual success later on, and now it's going to be much later on because of the incredible amounts of damage that have been done, but at least there's a shot that way. But you go down this path, you keep going down a path that says, no, we're going to get a military conquest, then you are setting up the Israeli people for even more insecurity and more threats in the foreseeable future. This won't bring peace to Israel. You need to understand that. That's the bottom line here. And there's very, very practical reasons to say, explain why that is. Now, I mentioned to you why Netanyahu is so emphatic about having the help and support of President Trump right now and what Netanyahu wants. But as Marwan Bisharis pointed out, this predates both Trump and Netanyahu.
It is about the United States and Israel. They've been allies together, complicit in the occupation of Palestine for the past 50 years. They've been complicit together throughout the peace process, so-called peace process, the past 35 years. And the Saudis joined, just as they are now. They joined back in 1991. They actually went to Madrid. They were present in Madrid, International Peace Conference. But what did it lead to? We had 75,000 illegal settlers in 1991. Today, we have 750,000 settlers. Israel controls, occupies, commits genocide more than ever before in history throughout those 30 years of so-called peace process. And the problem is the same today as it was then. Vague agreements that are controlled by Israel, dictated by the United States, where Israel is able to turn everything into stages and phases and control the implementation while the Palestinians are ever more marginalized and Palestine is ever more occupied.
And, I mean, it's hard to argue with that 50-year lesson or 30-year lesson, as he said in the second half. I mean, it's laid out right there. You can see how the stuff has worked out. And if you only look at it from the Israeli side, you'll say, yes, there's been terrorist attacks and all this during this time. They don't deserve a land. If that's the only way you view it, you can come to that conclusion, and many do. Most in the United States do. Many do anyway. But you can't view it that way. And if you only view it from the Palestinian side, you're also going to have a problem because you can say Israel has been occupying us since the 1967 war and all the things that have happened in between there and what the Palestinians define as terrorist attacks against their people and extrajudicial killings, imprisonment without even being charged anything for extensive amounts of time, all this stuff. If you only view it like that, then you'll say that there can never be peace either. The only chance that anyone has is if the two sides finally come together and recognize the others actually have a right to exist. And that means Palestinian recognition of Israel's right to exist and Israel recognizing Palestinians' rights to have a life. Until you get both of those things to happen, there's not even the possibility that this will bring peace. Don't be fooled into thinking if only Netanyahu gets his way here and has a military success, then finally peace will come to Israel. It won't. It won't. There is no way on God's earth that you're going to be able to literally kill everybody in the Palestinian Strip or one day just bulldoze them out of the area and shove them into other states and somehow think that that's going to bring peace. It won't. All you'll be doing is transferring all of that venom that you have helped create and spread it elsewhere outside of the Gaza Strip. And I promise you, outside, there will be work where they will then plan future attacks just from the outside. You will not bring peace to yourself, even by a forced expulsion. The only chance you have to bring even stability, even a modicum of peace, is to finally acknowledge from both sides that there is, that the other side has legitimate security interests, and that we'll try to find some way, and both sides will have to consider ways that they're not going to get everything that they want and make concessions, so that both sides have a chance to live in peace and stability. It will take a generation to get there, but you can't even start that clock of hope unless, first of all, you have leaders who stand up and say, this is what the right path is. We will lead it, and we will start this really hard process. That's what it's going to take. And right now, that's not even on the horizon. So I'm just telling you right now, don't be lulled into the seductive thought that because the Western side slash the United States and Israel have the power dynamic in their favor, that they can compel and force the other side and bring peace to their side. It's an illusion, and it's only going to bring more instability, folks. That's what you need to understand. We'll see how this is going to play out, and I'll continue to track all this stuff for you as we do all the time. We have another show coming up this afternoon tomorrow. I've got the true story of violence against the Palestinians prior to 10/7. Don't miss this. Please don't miss this. If you want to have any idea of one of the reasons why the Palestinians have been, you know, so have used violence the way they have, if you want to understand what happened and why 10/7 specifically exploded when it did, watch the show tomorrow, because all of that informs where we're at now and why I'm so adamant of saying that there's only one path to peace here. Be sure and tune into that. 10 o'clock in the morning, we'll be showing that. We'll also have a special guest with Matthew Ho as a part of that. Later this afternoon at 2 p.m., we have Andre Martiano back on the show again, and we're going to look at a specific aspect of the Russia-Ukraine war, that the energy infrastructure, that both sides are really trying to knock the other sides out away from the front line. The front line continues to go on, but we're going to talk about how what's happening away from the front lines represents a new strategy, especially on the Russian side with their drone warfare, and what impact that may have on the front lines and on the resolution of that war. I'm Andre Martiano today at 2 p.m. We'll see you then, folks, on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive.